If you're a Fed, chances are you're getting a skimpy paycheck today. But at least you know Congress may vote to pay your entire salary retroactively once the shutdown ends. It's a possibility. But it's not that way for federal contractors, especially the smaller ones. The shutdown is forcing them to make some tough decisions. Tony Crescenzo is CEO of Intellidyne. It's a technology services firm. And he joins us now to tell us how the shutdown is impacting his company. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Tony, tell me a little bit about what's happened over the past 10 days at Intellidyne.
Well, like every other government contractor, we've had to come up with contingency plans in the event that we receive stop work orders on any of our contracts. And into about day four of the shutdown, we began to see a vacillating list of stop work orders. The numbers moved day to day, and they've moved since the shutdown started. So we've had to deal with this entire notion of how most federal contractors solve this problem is you start with giving someone the ability to take all of their accrued paid time off. And then you let them, depending on the size of the contract, their ability to finance it, you give them some ability to go in the hole, if you will, or get a negatively balance. And at that point, almost everybody puts their staff on leave without pay. And when we looked at the breadth of the effect on our company and on our employees, we had recently won several contracts, had no employees who had accrued no leave, and we weren't really willing to let those employees go right on leave without pay, given that they had just left their jobs for a job with us. So as the executive team sat around and thought about what solutions we could put into place, somebody said, hey, how about if we pull up the leave that we have? You know, the interesting thing about corporate executives is that they typically get more vacation than everybody else, and they almost never use it. So as we get towards the end of the year, we look at the size of the leave balances for ourselves. I looked at mine and said, well, I've got 110 hours of leave to take. Very easy for me to give all but 4 days up so I can take some time off between Christmas and New Year's. 24 hours later, we had banked about 250 hours of leave for our pool of employees to use. And the next day, we decided to make a call to the rest of the company to see if anyone would be interested in volunteering their time. 24 hours later, we had 1,500 hours accrued, and that number grows every day.
All right. Sounds like you've got some pretty generous people there. Give us a picture, though, just of where you stand in the pantheon. The stop work orders, do they come from primes for whom you are a sub, or do they come from the government directly for whom you're priming?
90% of our work is prime work, and they come from the government.
And what are? Can you give us some examples of the ones that you've received stopped work orders from? I mean, what do you do? What has been stopped?
Unfortunately, the work that's been stopped for us is in the classified community, so I'm not at liberty to talk about those particular contracts. Most of our DOD work is continued. We support the entire military health infrastructure. So that work is continued. And we've had 15 of our colleagues affected in other smaller contracts in different agencies than DOD.
And you said the numbers are vacillating. So it's not as though with the shutdown they say don't do X work. Are you getting mixed signals from the intelligence community?
Well, it's not a mixed signal from anyone. Every government agency, every department has a different set of criteria to determine what is essential and what is non-essential work. And those determinations are made based on guidance given by upper levels of the federal hierarchy. That guidance has changed. Just the other day, we saw some civilian agencies were stopping some work, and DOD was bringing people back. That happens at the smaller and smaller levels as you go down into the hierarchy of the federal government. Each individual contract has to be evaluated, and given that we furloughed a good portion of the federal workforce, it's not that easy to evaluate them. So over time, they get to each contract and make different determinations. As the shutdown continues, more and more of those get affected.
All right. We're speaking with Tony Crescenzo, the Chief Executive Officer of Intellidyne. And on that point, looking at the services you provide just from your website, information assurance, cloud computing, application development, the bread and butter of IT, these sound like the types of projects that the government started because it wants to finish them. So are you getting the indication that this is lost revenue, or will they make it up to you after they get going again and the contracts restart?
In my experience, any revenue that we haven't received isn't coming back. They're not going to extend a contract. The funds are appropriated, but most of the contracts that we have are fixed-price contracts, so they're not affected. But in contracts that are T&M or cost-plus where the work is not performed, we only have a limited time period to perform that work. So unless we get authorization to add more hours to those contracts, we're not going to be able to use them up. And certainly the employees are not going to receive any back pay.
And what about the banks and the people you work with on the financial side, on the back end of things? Are they offering any sort of extended terms for you, or maybe withholding, you know, the penalties that you might have to pay on revolving credit, that kind of thing? I mean, is the infrastructure that's unseen helping companies like yours?
Well, the change isn't necessarily a change. It's a great question. It's not necessarily the same kind of change, or the shutdown is not reflective of something that would hurt you with your bank, and here's why. We haven't had a good budget for 4 years, and we always run on continuing resolutions. Between October and March, the government typically pays not very much because no authorizations, at least appropriated authorizations, are done. So every company from Lockheed to, you know, down to us, down to the very small businesses, has to have some banked savings or some leverage with their bank with a line of credit to pay those bills up until we typically get paid in March for all the work that happened between, say, November and March. So that part is not the issue. Where you get into trouble is when your costs go up because you're carrying more people on overhead. Now you haven't budgeted for or planned to pay those people. That's why you can use an accrued leave pool as a liability on your books. You have to put that money on the side. It's like a bank that you can't take money from. It's almost like a 401k account. And you really, what we did is we let people pledge their unused leave, which will get drawn down so that their colleagues could use it. So the bank issue is less of an issue for companies like ours. We've had some significant wins, some good growth over the last year. What really affected us was the fact that we have to carry these employees on overhead and we're not getting paid for their services. And in this current era of sequestration, profit margins are razor, razor thin. So you don't have a lot of money in reserve on some of these contracts.
And if you look at that whole issue you just described, where the banks understand this and we've been on a CR for so many years and certain elements have to be carried on companies' books, if you add all that up across the entire federal contracting scene, do you get the sense maybe that that drives up the cost to the government at the macro level in a way that you can't really account for on federal books?
Yeah, and most people don't talk about that. But that is an unintended second-order consequence of something like a shutdown. And it really affects the local economy. For every government worker you see who's affected, who's furloughed, you're going to see two or even three federal contractors who are affected. And while the government workers will receive back pay, the federal contractors won't.
And
money lost to the economy forever.
And in your company's an Intellidyne situation, so you've got something where at least your employees will be made whole in the short term. Those who have to be furloughed know that their colleagues are donating their leave. How long can this go on for you, though?
Well, currently we have about 6 weeks banked, and we're hopeful that Congress and the administration can come to some sort of a deal. I think 6 weeks is probably going to be sufficient. If not, we'll have to look at making the same hard choices that a lot of other companies have already made. It's interesting. You would think that we'd be in a more fragile position than a Lockheed, but Lockheed just laid off 2,400 people the other day. And if you've been around this market for a while, you know that the federal marketplace has a rhythm. It goes up and it goes down. The tide was in during the Bush administration. The tide is completely out now. The tide will come back in. And most of the federal contractors in this space are services contractors. Our sole assets walk on 2 feet. So if you treat your people right now, when the tide comes back in, they will treat you right.
Sure. And what about the communication between you and the agencies with whom you work since the shutdown began? Have you had much communication? And if so, what has it been around generally?
Well, to the extent that the large majority of our work has continued to run, we have standard day-to-day communications with our government colleagues. On those contracts where stop work orders have been issued, we have no communication other than with the contracting and procurement staffs who give us updates on where they are. And there really has been no change. Once we receive a stop work order, until the shutdown is ended, we won't receive any real follow-up communication.